Okay, we're picking up the last line of Lamed Beis with the words of Lema Kasavar Rebbe. We are in the middle again. The Gemara is we had a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim as to Kriyat Shema. According to Rebbe, it can only be said in Hebrew, and according to Chachamim, it could be said in any lashon. So the Gemara points out Lema Kasavar Rebbe, turning on to Lamed Gimel Aleph, Kol HaTorah B'Kol Lashon Emra, that the entire Torah could be said in any language. Because the Gemara points out, because you're going to think that it could only be said in Hebrew, so then, why do I need the halachas of Kriyat Shema, according to Rebbe, to teach me Dafka Kriyat Shema has to be said in Hebrew? It should be, if the regular rule is something needs to be said in Hebrew, that's the standard, so I don't need a specific drasha to come out of its way to tell me that over here, when it comes to Kriyat Shema, I should say Kriyat Shema in Hebrew. If that's the halacha of a kol Torah kula. So there's a very important Rashi. Rashi understands what was the Gemara's question when it says Kol HaTorah B'Kol Lashon HaEmra. That Rashi says Likros Beveis HaKnesses. That Rashi understands that when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, it can be that Rebbe understands it could be in any language. So Tosfos point out in Brachos, not over here. Tosfos and Brachos have a big problem with this Rashi because here they're arguing over the din d'oraisa of what needs to be said in Hebrew, what needs to be said in any language. Now Rashi seems to be implying that Kriyas HaTorah is a din d'oraisa, and that is the Tosfos point out that l'chora it seems to be only a takana d'rabanan. So the Bach and other Achronim Wanu Taina for Rashi, that no, Rashi in fact holds that there is an obligation or a Kiyum de Araisa to read Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And the Rabbana just established that when the Gemara says that it's a Din de Rabbana, the Rabbana was just establishing what to read on certain weeks. The Parshios, we know, that was only a later Takana, even by later after the time of the Gemara, that we were misakin, that we finished the Kol Torah Kula every single year. But to the fact that we have to lean, they understood Be'etzem is the idea, at least maybe on Shabbos, maybe Monday, Thursday, okay? But the idea of leaning is a din de'oraisa. Fascinating thing. And there'd be a kiyum de'oraisa to hear the leaning. That is how they understand Shitas Rashi. Tosos over there actually explained, maybe we're talking about Parshas Zachor, and Tosos throw in Parshas Para. Parshas Para, wow. So Tosos seemed to say, because then you're going to be talking about that the dinim of Kriyas HaTorah is Parshas Para and Parshas Zachar. Tosfos doesn't like that for a different reason, that it doesn't seem to be that it's just this one-time halacha. It seems to be a halacha that we're discussing all the time. But we see Tosfos doesn't reject the concept that Parshas Para and Parshas Zachar are both de'oraisa. And that's the Shaila. Some say, how could it be? I think the Gemara wanted to say that's really a mistake. Can't be Parshas Parah. Where do we see Parshas Parah as Daraisa? Parshas Zachar, the Gemara and Megillah is Mashma, that Parshas Zachar is Daraisa. That already other Rishonim, many Rishonim, Sefer Chinuch, and others hold that the idea of Parshas Zachar, reading Parshas Zachar, is a Din Daraisa. Fine, that we accept. But Parshas Parah, Mechi Tesi. So some want to say it's a mistake in the gear. So the problem is, there's Tosfos HaRash and the Rash, and Tosfos HaRebbe in Paris, and the other Balei Tosfosim, we have other Tosfosim. If you're ever confused about a Tosfos, the best thing to do is look at a Tosfos HaRash, Tosfos HaRebbe in Paris, those are Shants, if you have them, depends on which Masechtas, and they many times are just add a word, add a few things over here to just clarify what they're, the same exact question, same exact answer, but they just clarify things. They have the Girsa of Para, so it's difficult to assume that they all had the wrong Girsa. So it seems to be Tosfos actually hold that Parshas Para is in fact a Din D'Oraisa, so the Achronim try to answer why would it be a Din D'Oraisa. The Chassam Sofer says that the idea is, what did Achronim say? I think it's Chassam Sofer that says that the idea is it's really a Kiyum of the Zechira of the Maisa Egel. It's because the Para was Mechapra on the Egel, so it's and that is one of the Zechiros, maybe that's the idea. Okay, different Tumah Vitara, maybe reminding yourself, Yizar Tumah Nesel, for Tumah Vitara. There's different explanations given, but there are those. The Shulchan Aruch seems to be choshish for the Shita. He quotes it as a Yesh Omrim, but when it comes to, let's say, learning Shnei Mikra and other things, the Shulchan Aruch says the exception to this rule is Parshas Para and Parshas Zachar. So he puts them two together. He puts them two together in a few places. It seems to be Shulchan Aruch definitely is choshish that Parshas Para is, in fact, a Kriya Midaraisa. It's just interesting. I don't really see as much, you know, when people have Parshas Zachar, they like stand next to the Chazan and like they get all intense about the leaning. Parshas Para, it's a much more relaxed environment. I don't know. I guess maybe go to a Brisker Shul, they'll be much more like the same intensity. Whatever it is. The Maisa, that's what Kol HaTorah V'Chol Lashon HaEmra. According to Rashi, it seems to be all the Kriyas. Tosfos said maybe Parshas Zachar, Parshas Para, but Tosfos ended up rejecting that anyway. And Tosfos over there explained differently. Tosfos, for a different reason, because again, it seems to be across the board mitzvah, not just a one-time thing. Tosfos, it's all the dinim that are listed in our Mishnah, meaning Mikra Bikurim, Chalitza, those things, whenever you have a Kriya, meaning things that need to be said, that have to be in Hebrew, that's what the Shaila was, disgusting. Disgusting. So now that's what the Gemara is saying over here. That's v'hayu d'kasar chmona l'amelei. So now again, so according to Rebbe, if the kol Torah kula is in kol lashon, so the Gemara says it's rechno. There's a different reason. You don't have to assume. Maybe Rebbe holds that kol Torah is b'lashon kodesh. And why does over here need a special drasha? Because there's an opposite indication. Because it also says Shema, which implies, like the Chachamim, that Shema could be said in any language. So therefore, Rebbe said the Pasuk needs to go out of its way to say Vahayu to teach you that it's not the case, that in fact it can only be said in Lashon Kodesh. So that's what he learned, that it has to be, and he had a different drasha, that Shema means it has to be Masha Alta Mosim Epicha, that you have to hear yourself, even Ma'akiv, that if you don't, you're not Yotze. The Rabbanan, as we saw before, disagree with that. Now the Gemara points out, Lema Kasavri Rabbanan Kol HaTorah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Ne'emra. Should we assume that the Kol Torah Kula is specifically in Hebrew? D'Isaka Daitach B'Lachol Lashon, if you're going to tell me that all Kol Torah Kula could be said in any language, Shema, the cause of Rahmana, Lamali. Why do I need the Shema over here to tell you Shema that it could be said in any language? If the entire Torah is allowed to be said in any language, why do I need a drasha telling me specifically when it comes to the halachas of Kriyat Shema that Kriyat Shema could be said in any language? So the Gemara says, Itzrech, no, the same answer we had for Rebbe, Mishum Dichsev Vahayu, because there's another connotation from the words of Vahayu, which implies, like Rebbe said, that Shema has to be written in Hebrew. So come to Fuki Rebbe, the Torah has to come to teach you Shema, that Shema could be said in any language which you want. And that's what we learned from over here. Okay, so then the Shaila over here, the Tosus, Balai Tosus, Tosus Rush, and Tosus Megillah, they asked the question when it comes to if the Tana of our Mishnah will allow the entire Torah to be recited in any language, or rather he dafka requires Hebrew. I mean, since the Mishnah says you have psukim for mikra bikurim and chalitza, maybe they understand that in general the Tana understands that all lashonas are okay, and specifically over here when the Gemara has to have a limud for the halachas of chalitza and mikra bikurim, that is specifically why the Tana of our Mishnah, because really it could be said in kol Torah kula, kol lashon shatar shmea. So therefore, that's one manda amar. But there are kashas. Not going to get into the kashas of that approach, but that others want to time to know that maybe it's written specifically in Hebrew. Aramanda Amar. Okay, so it's not clear how the Tana of our Mishnah holds in the Machlokas, Rebbe, whether or not Kol HaTorah Kula B'Lashon Kodesh or B'Cholashon. It's not clear. Basically, we don't have an answer for our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah continues that Tefillah could be said in any language. So the Gemara points out that Rachamehi, that since it is the whole idea of Tefillah Be'etzim is something which is Rachamim, it's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His mercy. So kolecha debay matzah, whatever language you want to pray, you want to daven in a specific language. So then poshut, that can be done in any language, because the whole idea of a tefillah, of a davening, is that it should be something which you can connect to. If you don't understand it at all, then that's not something you connect to on the same level. Again, we pointed out before that the Sefer Chassidim writes and the Mishnah Berurah writes that for sure a person to try his best to be saying it in Hebrew, because the Chazal had Nevi'im and they had Nevu'ah and Ruach HaKodesh when every word goes up to special places when you say it in Hebrew. So that for sure is going to be Lechadchila, but the Gemara is assuming that at the end of the day, when you want to daven, you really want a heartfelt tefillah, that is the language which you'll understand. And the Gemara assumed that the same lashon about Rachameh is the reason the Gemara in Brachos pointed out that Nashim Chayavim in tefillah, the Gemara says, because it's Rachameh, that it's Pashut, because it's Rachameh, and they need to Rachamim also. Everybody needs Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara asks, so the Gemara says, wait a second, you could daven in any language, but tefillah b'chol lashon, v'amar Rav Yehuda, le'olam al yishal adam tzracha b'lashon aramis. The person's not supposed to be asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his needs in Aramaic. D'amar Rav Yochanan, kol hashol tzracha b'lashon arami. Anyone who asks his things in Aramaic, ein malachei asharis nizkakin lo, that the malachim do not pay attention to him, l'fi she'ein malachei asharis b'akirin b'lashon arami, because they do not understand the lashon of Aramaic, and therefore they are not going to help bring up their tefillahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we're going to get to in a moment, that idea that the Malachim are helping us bring up our tefillahs. So, this is the Shaila. What is it? Something specific about Aramaic, or is it the Hu Adin B'chol Davar? That's a big machlokas Rishonim, and it's a big machlokas Halach Al-Maisa, how to understand like that. This comes up, and this sugya comes up in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Aleph, Sif Dalet. That's a big Shaila. So the Rif understands it's nothing to do with Aramaic. That was the common lashon they were speaking back then, but it's Hu'ad in any language. Any language that's not Hebrew is not on the same level. And therefore, you're not allowed, a person's not supposed to be davening in any other language other than Hebrew. That's the Shaila of the Gemara. Others understand, the Rush understands, that no, that really Aramaic is actually worse because it is a corrupted language. It's a lashon, it's a corrupted form of Hebrew. So therefore, It's therefore considered something which is not a chashuva thing, and therefore it's worse than other languages which aren't necessarily a corrupted form of another language. So, which is a fascinating thing, if you go like the Rush, so then why, we know Kaddish is such a holy thing, right, the famous Tosos quote Chitas Rashi, the Machzor Vitri, in the beginning of Brachos, Tosos quote over there, that the idea of Kaddish, why do we dafka say Kaddish in Hebrew, is because the Malachim don't understand it, and since the Malachim don't understand it, then they're not going to be jealous of us, Aminish Barabbah is such a big thing, and that's why we say Kaddish in Aramaic. Tosos will come on to reject that, but still, Tosos, but at the end of the day, fine, so maybe you don't come on the answer of Rashi over there, but why, that seems to be the exact opposite of the Gemara over here, at least the Rush's understanding of the Gemara over here, that really the idea of Aramaic is significantly worse. So I think the Matan Yantav over there on the Rush, he explains very beautifully, based on the Zohar. The Zohar Kodesh tells us that actually, that yeah, it is the Lashon of the Zohar is that Aramaic is like the Lashon of Sitra Achra. It's a scary scary Lashon over there, but we Dafka, we're like bringing up the idea of the Aramaic to bring it up to such a high level, Dafka, for the Kaddish. Because this Kaddish is a great thing. We're able to even use the Lashon of the Sitra Achra to bring up the Kaddish because it's such a big thing. And we're able to person who we know, a person who answers, Amin Yishmer Abba, but called Kolcho, the Gemara says, it's Korel Gzardino. It rips up our negative Gzeros that Hashem has against us. So yeah, you're right. It is said Dafka in this other Lashon. Fascinating answer from the Manayantav, quoting the Zohar. But that's the idea of the Machlokas, the Rif, and the Rush. So the Gemara answers, Lokashia habiyachid habitzibor. So there's not a problem. That the idea of not davening Aramaic applies to a yachid. However, the Mishnah's idea that it allows you to daven in any language is specifically talking about bitzibor. Because a yachid needs the help of these malachim, so therefore, that when it comes to a yachid, you need the help, and since they don't understand, that's going to be a big nafkamina over here between the Rif and the Rush. According to the Rush, this din comes out is that you only are not allowed to daven in Aramaic. But according to the Rif, it's any language. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes both deyos. He's not clear how to exactly. But the Minhag HaOlam, I think, is to rely on the Shita of the Rush, which still has a nafkamina though, is like there are tefillos that we say in Aramaic. Let's say Yikum Purkan. Yikum Purkan on Shabbos. If a person is not davening with the Tibor and on Musaf, so the Mishnah Berurah writes, you shouldn't be saying Yikum Purkan B'yachid, because that's the whole Yikum Purkan is in Aramaic. If you look at many of the Sidurim, I think even the Art School, and many others also, it's not just the Art School, look at many other Sidurim also, they make a chilek between the if you see, they say from here on, don't say the second paragraph. The first paragraph they say to say, hey, the second is, that's not the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah, and if you go to the Rush, it's very difficult to understand that. I think it's based on if I'm not mistaken, I think I remember it was a Shar Ephraim, and one of the big Achronim does say that way. If you look at the sugya, I have to admit it is difficult that psak, but it seems to be going to many of the Sidurim go with that because if you look at the lashonos that it said, it's really more the second one is more for a tzibur, even though it is in Aramaic. Again, that seems to be the Minhag HaOlam, but the Mishnah Berurah, it's against Mishnah Berurah. So we pointed out the Farish, the Mishnah Berurah says both of them are on the same, that you shouldn't say either one if you are biyachin and have to, whatever, in my cotton idea, when I learned the sugya, it seemed to be that Mishnah Berurah makes a lot of sense. So the Minhag HaOlam is a little bit more difficult. But either way, what comes out is that a tzibur is allowed to daven in any language. The Chassam Sofer was Eish Lahava, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chassam Sofer, because he was dealing with the reform. That was one of the first things they wanted to change, was the idea of davening in vernacular, well, davening in German. And then they started getting Mamash Alpi courses that the Mishnah Berurah gets into it. They got rid of Yerushalayim. They said, we're going to make a house in Germany, which is so crazy. Think about it. What happened after that is, the worst country ever and the worst crimes against humanity ever were in the exact place where the original Jews wanted to say that this is our homeland. This is now our homeland. We don't need Yerushalayim anymore. Okay, anyway, but when it comes to that, is something which is not allowed, even though the Mishnah is explicitly allowed. I remember seeing the Lashon of the Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnayos on this Mishnah. The Tiferes Yisrael had a great Lashon. He said that even if, okay, so you want to tie that in the Sugya, yes, he could come out, even based on Shulchan Aruch, that a Tzibur can daven in German. He said, but all the Rabbanim came out against it and made a chirim and then that. And we see that they have the koach even to be okay, even if there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar, they have the ability to tell you not to do it. So Kol Shekin, we have a mitzvah to listen to them over here, and it's never pashut that you should be listening to the gedolim of our generation. That's important note for us to realize also that we have the Rabbanim who are making our psak in the way that we should be living our life, and we should be following their derech as much as possible, because many times they see things a lot of times that we don't necessarily see, even if you are a big Talmud Chacham. Sometimes you have to realize there are people greater than you, and you have to follow the derech of the Gedolei Hador, whoever that might be. And if your Rebbe is one of those Gedolei Hador, then great. Then they should, as Shachter says, a person who's holding in Shas and Shulchan Aruch, that's the only one who could really pass in a Shaila. But if he's on that level, then he has the right to make a psak. So that if you have somebody on that level and he's your Rebbe, fine. That's fine. Anyway, so we're back to over here where the Gemara answers Bitzibor versus Biyachid. The Valet Tzarfas has a middle ground shita, seems to be more like the Rif, but they say that you'd be allowed to daven even if you're not, if they're davening in Hebrew, if you're at the time where the Tzibor is, you can daven in any language you want. That's what comes out of the Shita of the Valet Tzarfas, which is also a Shita which is quoted, I believe, if I remember correctly, also in Shulchan Aruch, that is quoted. So this is the famous Gemara over here, and it comes out again. There would be a huge nafkamina if you're machmir to assume that any language means you can't daven biyachid anywhere in your house or anywhere, even in English, any language. So that would be one shita. That's the Rif. However, I think the Minhag Olam is more makel like the shita of the Rush, but that would still have a nafkamina. You can't daven in Aramaic biyachid, which would have the nafkamina for Yom Kippur. Also comes up in slichos. There are a lot of in the slichos. Some would actually say in Eretz much more common. So in YU, there's the one minion where everyone runs out of the slichos of Bahab. But they daven. They say it the slichos in Aramaic. So if you're davening those slichos, just the slichos time in Elul or in whatever, then develop before Rosh Hashanah, and you're davening biyachidus. So there are certain paragraphs that are in Aramaic. You should not be saying those. And that also comes up if you're behind. So if you're behind and the minion is still there, then they say that that's okay. You can be your tovis part of the minion, even though they're up to a different part of the, they already started davening, let's say, but you still have 10 people in the room, then they're making that you could say the rachman and ane lane anena, and that whole tefillah is in Aramaic. You could say that even if you were behind. Some say even if you started with the tzibor and there's not even 10 people, then there are some achronim even there, mekel. Okay, these are the different shalas that come up about davening in Aramaic. So now the Gemara asks a question on Rabbi Yochanan, Ve'en malachai ashar is makirin b'lashon arami. Is it really true that they don't understand Aramaic? Also, there's another big shaila, there's a big sugi over here. I'm getting a little bit, we have to go weiter. But the maisa, there's another gishmaka point, is the whole idea is that, the whole idea that malachim are helping our tefillos. Right, the Ramban is very chumar about this, that's not something we believe. We believe Hashem directly answers our tefillah. So what is this whole idea of Bichlal? Right, the whole idea of the Rambam in the Ani Mamins. One of the Ani Mamins is to understand that Akash Baruch Hu is the right Hu Levado Rayli Spalo Vein Zilasa Rayli Spalo. Nobody we only daven to Akash Baruch Hu. The similar thing comes up when you go to a person goes to Kfarim. That you don't daven Chas Shalom to the Shem Baruch Chai coming up like Baomer or whatever it might be. Right, that's a Chazal. Right, that Kalev went to Chevron. So you shatech al the kivrei avos. So you see, there is a concept that you don't dive into the person. You're saying that in the schus of this holy tzaddik who's buried here, the avos, whoever it might be that you're going to, whichever kever rachel, whoever person is supposed to going, so that is in the schus of the tzaddik is buried. Because Baruch Hu, the hishmi melech tiyosher for me and my family, whoever you're davening for. But they're not chas v'shalom that you're davening to the nifter. And a similar thing when it comes to the malachim, that the malachim, you're right that at the end of the day, the malachim are many answer that the malachim over here are the ones who are just carrying out the will of Hashem in response to the tefillah. And these malachim, Hashem is not going to kielu put them in play when you're davening in another language. That's how they explain this answer, which would get into the big shaila, is a lot of the piyutim seem to, not necessarily to take it more literally, there's a piyutim of malachim, asharis, mashar se elyon, right? We ask the malachim to be, and then Machnisi Rachamim is the famous one, Machnisi Rachamim, Machnisi Rachamim, Lefni Bala Rachamim, we're asking the malachim to bring our tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have intermediaries. We say daven straight to Hashem. So that's the big shaila. The Chassam Sofer was not so into it, Nefesh HaChaim wasn't so into it. The Minhag Olam is, at least in Yerushalayim, even in Yerushalayim with the Gerut Talmidim and more Litvasher influences, even there many of the shuls will say these piyutim. However, there are some yeshivas I know in YU, they don't say the Malachi Asharis, they don't say Machnisi Rachamim, they don't say those two. And other yeshivas also as well don't say those tefillos. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, in Malachi Asharis, Markim Lashon Rami, is it true? Malachim don't know Aramaic, but Tanya, we learn in a brisa, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Shama Basko, Mibisa Kodesh, Kodashim, Shu Omer, Nitzchu, Talioya, the Azul, the Akha Krava, Lentuchia. He say in the Lashon of Aramaic, he said, the people who were young, the young men who were fighting against Antichoch, had they been victorious? Antichoch was this, talking about Anyam Kippur, Kohanim, from the Chashmonaim were fighting against the Avanim. Yochanan Kohen Gadol entered, and he heard this Baskol announce that the Kohanim had won the war. So obviously the message was not by the Shekhinah itself, because that would be a form of Nevuah. We didn't have Nevuah in the time of Bayis Sheni. Rather, we just had what's called Baskol. And many times Baskol come out, it's like it's a lower form of many times through Malach, Hashem is giving us a message. And now we don't even have that anymore, but that's what they had back in the times of even in Baskol we had by Beis Hillel, Beis Shammah, we had the early Tanaim had it. V'shuv Ma'isa B'shimon HaTzadik Shushama Baskol B'kodesh Kodesh HaKadoshim Shomer B'talis Avidasa Damar Sinel HaSeh Alei Chala V'nera Gleska V'atlu G'zirosa. That the army the armies of the enemy wanted to come and fight a war against us, and they've been destroyed. And Gascalus was killed, and all of the Xeros that he had, all of the decrees that he had against Eden are now annulled. This Gascalus, Rashi says, was a king, a Greek king. He was trying to bring an Avodah Zarah into the base of Megdash, and they assassinated him before it was carried out, and the Xeros was nisbatel. Because and they wrote the time when it came out, and it corresponded to the time that it actually came out. They remembered afterwards when it happened. And at that moment, he remembered, and then they wrote down the time, and they saw that that's the exact time when it happened, so there was a real malach. But what the point is, that this baskel was said in Aramaic. So how did Rabbi Yochanan not know this language? And verse Ibis, Ima baskel shanei delashmuyei avida. A baskel is different. That they do say in Aramaic, because it's informing the people, and that was the vernacular, that's what they were speaking in Aramaic. So that's why they dafka wanted to say this message in Aramaic. Ibis Ima, but it doesn't answer the idea that the malachim don't know it. Or we could say Gavriel Avin. No, Gavriel was the only malach who did understand Aramaic, because we know the Braisa tells us, when it comes to Yosef HaTzadik, that Paro was testing him in all the Lashonos, so the Malach Gavriel taught him all the 70 languages, and therefore he was able to become the leader of Mitzrayim. So we see that Gavriel does know every language. He could ask the Kasha, the Marsha asked, a strong Kasha. So why does the Gavriel answer our tefillos? So, no, we shouldn't have an Aramaic, because Gavriel is not necessarily the only Malach who is the one helping our tefillos. So therefore, since it's not always Gavriel, we cannot make our tefillos in Aramaic. Okay, because we don't know if Gabriel will be the one who's the one Hashem put in charge at that time to listen to the tefillos. Birkas Hamazon, Tichsev Achalta V'Savat V'Rav Tes Hashem Lokecha V'Chol Lashon Shata Mevarech. The Gemara doesn't ask Minalan. The Achronim point this out. We don't say Minalan because we don't we don't ask Minalan because it's a davar pashut that when it comes to benching, that it should be said in any language. There's no basis to assume otherwise. So therefore, we're not asking Minalan, we're just quoting a pasuk. B'chol lashon shata mevarech, any language which you're able to make a blessing towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could say it in. So you could bench in English, in whatever language you want. Shvuah se'edus, when it comes to Shvuah se'edus, techsev v'nefesh ki sechta v'shama kol alal, person sins and he heard, he makes a shvuah, which implies that the shvuah, if it's said, is b'chol lashon shata mevarech, any language which he hears, that therefore it could be in any language. Any language is acceptable. Shvuah se'pikadnen, similar thing, if someone left something with you, you swear everything, you're one of the dalet shomrim. So we have Gzera Shava teaching us the Lashon of Techta, which is mentioned in Shvuah Se'edus, with the Lashon of Techta, which is mentioned with regards to Shvuah Se'pikadon, and the Gzera Shava teaches you the two halachas are the same, and therefore they can be said in any language. Now we're up to the next point of the Mishnah, which are Elo Nemar and the Lashon HaKodesh. These have to dafka be said in Hebrew. What are the ones that dafka have to be said in Hebrew? Mikra Bikurim, saying Mikra Bikurim, the Bikurim V'chalitza. The chalitza, that was the following. So mikra bikurim ketzad. So mikra bikurim, how do we see it said in Hebrew? Vanisim martlof nei Hashem lakacha. The pasuk says you should say before Hashem. Ulahalanu omer va'anu alavim v'amru el kol Yisrael. And it says with regards to the brachos and the klalos and har grizim and har yival. It says the pasuk says over there v'amru el kol ish Yisrael. It says v'amru, they're going to say in to kol ish Yisrael. So we have a gzera shava between these, and that says ma ni amur lahalan b'lashon hakodesh. When it comes to the brachos and klalos, we say that it's lashon hakodesh. Afkan b'lashon hakodesh. So to mikra bikurim is b'lashon hakodesh. V'leviim gufayim minalan. So where do we know that the Leviim themselves had to speak in Hebrew? Asya kol kol min Moshe. They have a gzera shava, the words of kol and kol from Moshe Rabbeinu. K'sivacha kol ram. It says by the Leviim should speak in a kol ram, a loud voice. K'sivasam Moshe daber velokim yanenu bekol. In regards to Matan Torah, it says that Moshe would speak and Hashem would respond to him bekol. This is because, right, only the first two dibros we heard directly from Hashem. That's why it's written in Elchi Hashem Lakecha Asher Tzitzicha. And then afterwards, our first to Hashem in the third person, because it's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. Moshe Rabbeinu was obviously, it was a miracle. Moshe Rabbeinu is not able to say something that could be heard by 2 million people, right? 600,000 men, roughly 2 million, however many, 2-3 million people. So how did they all hear him? No, they all were able to heal him because Hashem made it possible. That's Hashem Midaber Bakol. Hashem responded by giving him a loud voice. So we see that kol is Malal Melashon HaKodesh. We know Moshe Rabbeinu given the Torah specifically Belashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, Avkan Belashon HaKodesh. So too, when it comes to the Brachos HaKlos, they have to be Belashon HaKodesh. That's what we learn from over there. So fine, now next part of the Mishnah, we're quoting the point where the Mishnah said, Chalitza Ketzad. The Chalitza Ketzad, we learn, just to quote that Mishnah, it said, V'ansa V'amra. It said, V'ansa V'amra, that she shall say. So we see the Levim have to say it. So we said, Ma'ala halam b'lashon HaKodesh, Avkan b'lashon HaKodesh, that was the opinion of the Tanakhama, which Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, and he said, V'ansa v'amra, kacha. When it says, kacha, yasel ish, kacha, sounds like it's only in this way, meaning in this manner, in Lashon Kodesh. So now the Gemara says, Rabbanan, hi, kacha, what are the Rabbi Huda, this drasha, with the words of kacha, this is how it's going to be done. So they say the lashon of kacha, the way this is going to be done in Hebrew, how do they dorish that lashon of kacha? No, they learn that kacha is teaching you whatever is the actions that were mentioned in regards to chalitza, that is ma'akiv, that if you don't do it, you're not yotze the chalitza. So what comes out is that it would be, if a person doesn't do the action items, which is the hainu, removing the shoe, or the roke, the spitting of the woman, those two things don't happen, then it's going to be pasul. However, if you leave out the declarations, which have to be said, then you would be yotzei b'diavad. Now there is a chiyuv to do them. If you don't do them, you're still going to be yotzei b'diavad. Fine, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that chalitza, that the actions are necessary? Miko and kacha. Meaning it could have just said, ko yasa, the Yisrael Shelevne Beisachim. What does it say? Kacha, the extra hay. The extra A is able to be dorish both things. The extra letter is teaching us that we learn out the chalitza must be done in Hebrew and that the maisim are going to be chayev. It's not so clear. The Tosas is mesupak. Tosas is maybe me lo yadana I did dorish Rabbi Yehuda miko kacha de chola omer parsha. Meaning maybe the kriyas ma'akev according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Tosas is mesupak. They're not sure. But either way, he learns out from that double drasha. And the Rabbanan point out, Rabbanan ko kacha lo mashpul. That's the extra hey. It's not teaching us anything. It's insignificant and you can't learn the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda. Now turning on to Lamed Gimel Beis. Rabbi Yehuda, hi, v'ansa v'amra mai avidle. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with the Gzera Shava, the words of that she's going to speak up and say, which links Chalitza to the Brachos and Klalos? She learns from over there that Levim have to say the Brachos and the Klalos in Lashon HaKodesh. There's no other source which teaches us that Levim have to say Brachos and Klalos in Hebrew, except for this Gzera Shava with regards to Chalitza of Kacha. So the Gemara says, but why don't they learn out the halacha that was learned by the Gzera Shava from Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara says, Aniya Gamar. Rabbi Yehuda had the Gzera Shava, his Mesura was the Lashon of Aniya, had a Mesura for the Brachos and Klalos to Chalitza to teach you that they were in Hebrew. Kol Lo Gamar, but the idea of the Kol, the Lashon of Kol, to have that Pasuk, which says, that's not Kol of Hebrew. He doesn't have that Mesura. We know that a person can't be done Gzera Shava Ma'asmo based on what makes sense, because there's a Reboy. He can only learn it if he had a Mesura. So Rabbi Yehuda apparently had a Mesura that the Lords of Aniya had a Gzera Shava, and Kol, which was mentioned by Moshe Rabbeinu, he had no such Gzera Shava, therefore he had no linking of the Brachos to Klalos to the din of Moshe, and therefore he had to learn it out from Chalitza. So the Gemara says, "Tanan Amehachi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Makom Shenemar Ko Kacha Aniya VeAmira." That anywhere it says Ko and Kacha, we see that it's said in connection with saying something. Eino Ela Lashon HaKodesh. It's only mentioned in Hebrew. Ko Sevarchu. Similar, we have Ko Sevarchu. So he learns from there also that when it comes to Birkas Kohanim, it has to be done in Hebrew. There we saw before that it was Gzera Shava. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't the first Gzera Shava, so he learned it from the fact that it was Ko. And Kacha de Chalitza, Aniya VeAmira de Levim, those three times we learn have to be done in Hebrew, not based on the Gzera Shava that Rabbanan had, but because of the Lashon of Ko. That Lashon of Ko is able to be Dorish a din of the din of Gzera Shava. Now the Gemara continues. Brachos Klaus Ketzah Kevim Shav Yisrael Sayarden, and they came up to Har Grizim, Har Eval, they went near Shechem. Tanar Rabbanan, now the Braisa is going to be Marech in this idea. Gemara says, Lo, Hema Be'Evar Yarden. The Pasuk says, when it comes to Har Grizim, Har Eval, they're on the other side of the Jordan River. Me'Evar Le'Yarden Ve'Elach Diver Rebbe Yehuda. That means they're on the other side of the Jordan, and further, they're far from the Jordan, not near the Jordan River. That's the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. He understands that Har Grizim, Har Eval are near Shechem, which is far from the Jordan River, not necessarily near the Jordan River. Achrei derech mavah shemesh. Rabbi Yehuda continues when it says from the sun coming up. Makom shachem azarachas, from where the sun is rising in the east. So, meaning it's telling you that again, it's far from the east bank of the Jordan. We're in the west bank, because the west bank of the Jordan, the river. That's just stumbles why they called it that. Everything is west bank of the Jordan River. Ba'aretz haKenani Yoshev Barava, in the land of the Kananim that are in the plain. Elu Hargrizim Bar Evel Shiyoshvin Bar Kusim. That refers to Hargrizim and Evel, which now was time of the Kusim. The Kusim were later. That was by Ashur. Ashur took the Kusim when after he exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, and he placed inside the Kusim who were pagans. They worshipped Avodah Zarah, but then there was lions that were eating them, so therefore they converted. That's the whole shayla. Gerei emes, gerei ayosim. That they were. Did we accept their gerus? Did we not? Until we found later that they were doing Avodah Zarah. So then we did pasul them. But many times, even in the early Mishnayos, we're not sure what their status was. So anyway, that's the area where they lived. They lived in the Shomron. So mula Gilgal. Where does it mean that it's opposite the Gilgal? Samach Gilgal means that it's near Gilgal. So mul is, it can mean opposite. It also means that it's close to. So he's understanding that it's near the Jordan. So the Gemara says, Eitel lo neimor, right? Shechem, that refers to Shechem. Lalan omer vayavod. Vayavar Avram Baharaz Admakom Shem Alaylan Mora, that they're near each other, Ma Elan Mora Mor Lalan and Shem. It's actually Mamish the same place. Shem, Afkan Shem, Elan Mora here is referring to Shem. So we see that that it's referring to Har Gizim Arival, or linked to Xer Shava, that it must be that it was near Shem. Tanya we learn in the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi, but Davar says the Yapti Sifri Kusim. And this I show that the Sifri Kusim are wrong. The Kusim denied, similar to the Tzedukim, they denied Torah Shabbal Peh. So Martin Lama says, "Yaftan Torahschem, your whole Torah is false. Velo Elisim Biatchem Klum. You have accomplished nothing with your Torah. Shetam Omrim Elonim Marashchem. How do you know Elonim Marashchem? It doesn't say anywhere that Afanim Elonim Marashchem. Alim Do Begzera Shava. The only way we were able to get that was by means of Begzera Shava. Atem Bebantem. You clearly copied us on this point. So your whole thing is made up. You don't have a clear Torah, and the fact that you said this was only because you had a Masorah from us. So therefore, your whole thing about rejecting Torah Shabbat Peh is ridiculous. So this is a machlokes. So now, we quote the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, according to Rabbi Elazar, he says, Elohim Be'evar Yarden. The Torah says that they're on the other side of the Jordan River. Samach Liarden, it's near the Jordan River. Dim Be'evar Yarden Ve'elach. So the other side of the Jordan beyond, far from the Jordan River. When you cross the Jordan River, these are going to want to tell you in Har Gizim HaYevel. So it's teaching you that Har Gizim HaYevel are near the Jordan River. Where the sun is setting in the west, that meaning the mountains are far from the west, they're not near them, and meaning that they are near the Jordan River. That's the point over here. Eretz Kanani, Eretz Chivi. That really it's Eretz Chivi. So what does it mean? Yosheb Arava. It's really meaning that one of the Kanani nations are Chivi. So that remember the Knani Achivi, right? They're one of the nations. Hayoshev Barava, Velo Ben Arim Gavos and Yoshvin, that they're amongst the mountains and the hills. Mula Gilgal, Velo Lo Ravos Gilgal, but they couldn't see the Gilgal. Meaning that if Har Gizor Ha'evar near Shechem, as Rabbi Yehuda understands, you would not be able to see the Gilgal. So how are you going to explain this according to Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Elazar, this is not going to be a kasha because he understands they are near each other. So now the Gemara says Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov explained for Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Ba Hakasuv El Laharos La Derech Bashnia. He's just telling you the way to go through Eretz Canaan, just as Hashem has shown them the way to go when he had the Amud Anan, showing them where to go for after when they were leaving Mitzrayim. Derech, so we say, but what is Derech? But Derech luchu v'lo b'sadus v'chama. Go on the road and not through the fields and vineyards of the people there. Yoshev, it's to be Yushev luchu v'lo medbaros. Go through the inhabited areas, don't go through the wilderness. Barava is in the plains. Barava v'luchu v'lo b'arim mikvos. Don't go b'arim mikvos. Each day they crossed the Jordan River, they traveled behind, there was two camps going, meaning each two of the Shvatim. The day was traveling first. Adon Kola Art over the Fnechem. The Aaron is going, and it's going before you to the Jordan River. The Levim were carrying the Aaron. These days the Kohanim were carrying. The Kohanim were the ones who were taking it. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, remember, there's three times the Kohanim carried the Aron. Kishavar is the Arden, when they crossed the Arden, Kizibot Yericho, when they circled Yericho, we see that it was the Kohanim. And when they returned to the Beis HaMikdash in time of Shlomo HaMelech, that was also done by the Kohanim. Okay, by the Hashem, we'll pick up a Kevan Shinibad at the top of Lamadal and Amanal from Yitzhak Shem and tomorrow's stuff.